flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back into Sports Talk. It is Monday, February 3rd. We are getting closer to Super Bowl Sunday. Chiefs and Eagles taking on each other, and they're actually hitting the field today, but for media night, opening night, they call it now, in the Caesars Superdome, getting underway. We'll check in with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, soon. Philadelphia first up, getting all those questions, and then they'll make way for the Kansas City Chiefs. Things will be running at the Dome tonight till 10 p.m., so a late day for everybody that was involved in stuff on Radio Row today.
Yeah, because everybody sort of evacuated. We wanted the last of the Mohicans left here at Radio Row because everybody went to the Dome. And one of the news breaking this afternoon, Steve, is Cooper Kupp, the outstanding wide receiver with the L.A. Rams, is asking to be traded. And the Rams basically have told him they will do what they can to move him. So Cooper Kupp, man, and just think a couple years back, he put up some unbelievable numbers. When he's healthy, he's been a very productive football player
right.
in the NFL. He's fought some injuries the last few years. But another guy that right around this time of the year is asking people, hey, listen, I'm out there. That tells me his agent's been on the phone with people already.
Yeah.
There's an interest in Cooper Kupp.
I would think so. And like you mentioned, though, the injuries kind of have derailed some of his progression.
His value
right.
as a player, I think, has taken a hit because of the injuries. And, man, I go back. His grandpa,
yeah.
Jake Kupp, was an original member of the New Orleans Saints back in 1967. Actually played long enough that he actually played with Archie. And, you know, Archie didn't get drafted till 71. So Jake had a nice ride in the National Football League. And then Cooper's dad was a backup quarterback with the Giants. So he's got that genetics as a player. And,
yeah, you look up in that Superdome rafters, you're going to see that name Kupp.
And so, man, Jake, he was one of the things last time I talked to him was, man, you know, I played offensive guard. I was 250 pounds. They got tight ends that are bigger than me today. And he said, take a look at Josh Allen. He's a quarterback bigger than me. So it goes to show how the game changed so dramatically. Yeah, but Cooper Kupp asking to be traded from the L.A. Rams. And, again, that's a team that has shuffled the lineup. Then you lose Aaron Donald.
Right.
Okay.
But, man, that defensive pass rush was still there this year.
And they had it. And the other part of this is what happens with Matt Stafford. Because
right.
he has not made up his mind if he's going to return to pro football next year.
That's a dude, too, who always seems to be dealing with something. But I give him a ton of credit. Plays through it.
Man, you look at, if that's 80%.
Right.
I want to see him when he's 100%. He's the guy getting up in age. He's taking a lot of hits. And those early years, certainly with the Lions, man, he was pinata quite a few times there. But he's also is seriously thinking, and he thought about it last year, about retirement. Here's my deal. Once guys
start thinking
about
yeah.
it, man, the sand's about ready to run out of the hourglass. So with Kupper asked to be traded, you wonder a bit, kind of where this franchise will go and who they'll turn to at quarterback.
Puka Nacua tweeted out earlier about the trade news now with Cooper Kupp, and he's like, I thought this was just the NBA season for trades right now.
Yeah, it's a good line by Puka too. But man, you look at how they've rebuilt that team. They have drafted so well.
Really
and
have.
It was the first time they had a first-round pick. Man, I can't remember. And, they end up with Jared Verse, who's a terrific football player from Florida State. I know we talked a lot about him at draft time, and then you end up also in round two with Braden Fisk from Florida State, and he was a guy who was a transfer player, and both those guys really, really played big-time football up front for the Rams this year.
We could sure use some horses like that in the Saints' D-line.
Well, hopefully in this year's draft, and Charlie knows, I've told him, 24 of my top 75 are defensive linemen.
24.
24 of the top 75.
All right. So like that year, a couple years, when you were talking about it was the best tight end class you saw.
2 years ago was the best
right.
one I ever saw.
So this has to be obviously an impressive D-line class because those dudes, man, I feel like it's one of the hardest positions to fill too in the NFL besides quarterback.
Every week, you know, we do our GoTax resolution scouts notebook leading up to LSU on the LSU pregame show.
Yeah.
And Herb Dollar would always tell me, how many damn linemen you got? Every week you're talking about linemen. And I said, Herb, just like a year ago it was offensive linemen, this year it's going to be defensive linemen.
Stock up, hopefully.
And that is a position that doesn't come in numbers every year.
Right.
So when you get an opportunity, sort of double down on that. You know, not only pick one, you get your shot. You got early third-round pick. Maybe get a couple defensive linemen. Your defensive linemen aren't getting younger, and you couldn't stop the run. Cam Jordan's getting up in age. Carl Granison's a good player. I think he's a good player.
Right.
And
but that interior is definitely lacking on the Saints.
What you need is a big guy in the middle to stop the run. Okay, Brian
got
Brisset,
that right.
One thing you can give him, he's athletic, and he's exactly what the scouting report says. Okay, he's a big man, he's athletic, he can rush the quarterback, but he plays too high in the saddle. So people get under his pads and they move him around a little bit. He's got to learn how to play lower. That isn't as easy as it comes by.
Right, you just like, oh, just, you know, say it's all your technique and your form, but it seems it's just the way he's played since – you know, forever. So adjusting, I don't know how he can go about that.
I know Coach Jenkins talked about how he worked with Chris Jones.
Okay.
He said it took him basically 2 years to figure it out. Because Chris, when you walk up to him, man, he's a tall guy.
Yeah.
You know, and Armstead also, who's with the Colts. You know, they taught him this crab style. It's almost like a crab. And he's 6'7". Okay, so he gets on the turf, and he's almost like a crab. He gets in that position, but he's learned how to come out of that. But if you just in a normal spot, you get up, man, they get under you, and they move you around. Big, tall, same thing with Mason Smith. Mason Smith was like that at LSU. You saw linemen because Mason wasn't great with technique, and he kind of stand up. They get him, they move him around, move him around. And he's gotten better as an NFL player. But that is something, too, the way you built and you give so much of that body, and it's not there's nothing you can do about it, but you got to work around the technical part of the game that linemen don't get a big shot at you.
Super Bowl media night in action right now. Philadelphia Eagles are all at the podium. Some former Saints out there, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Zach Bond. We're going to check in with our Saint, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, right after the break. Find out what's going on in the Dome. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, brought to you by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. We've got you covered all week from the Morial Convention Center on Radio Row. So we're going, though, from Radio Row right now to the Caesars Superdome for media night going on, and the Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert checking in. How's it going over there in the Dome, Bobby? What's the spectacle like?
Well, it is a spectacle. I mean, it's like, whoa. So the fans are involved. I don't know. It seems like just in the stands, they have 15,000 people.
Whoa.
And it's, it's unbelievable. It's way bigger than we had this thing, the last Super Bowl, basically a decade ago. Between the Ravens and 49ers. I guess you had more access. I don't know, security and all that, but just the fans, like initially, Saquon Barkley, he's up on the podium, and, Jalen Hurts is kind of like the main players, and it's like 20, 30 deep to get to him. Now, when the Eagles came out into the crowd, I got to chat with Vic Fangio a couple of minutes, and I'm going to go back and speak with him. After we finish his interview, but he's all excited. and you know, looking forward to, you know, hoping them coming away with a win.
Baba,
you know, we always talked about winning a Super Bowl.
Baba, talking about Jalen Hurts and the Jalen we saw at Alabama, and then no matter what you might think about Lincoln Riley as a head coach, because his defense has been so damn bad, I don't care if it's Oklahoma or USC, he knows how to groom quarterbacks. I think that was the biggest move for Jalen Hurts, of him leaving Alabama, work under Lincoln Riley. He was a totally different player at Oklahoma than he was at Alabama as a passer. He still is a great threat as a runner, but I think that strategic move to go to Oklahoma to work with a coach that had had great success with other quarterbacks, and with Lincoln Riley, I think really catapulted his career today.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, a lot of times the quarterback, you have to keep your confidence and your ability in yourself, even when maybe, like when Coach Saban took him out of the game and put in Tua. Think about that. That can break your spirit. And you just have to constantly believe in yourself. And so he knew he could play. Come on. You can go from Alabama to Oklahoma and still be significant. And then now what he's done in the NFL, I mean, you know, Saquon Barkley helps him definitely to be a better quarterback. But he's improved as a passer. And the last Super Bowl when they lost to the Chiefs, just look at the numbers.
Yep.
He had a way better game than Pat Mahomes. The only thing he did, I think he kind of stumbled and he was scrambling to the right. Remember, he kind of dropped the ball and they picked it up, scoop and score. But other than that, you can just look it up. Whether you want to look at rushing yards, passing yards, touchdowns. No, he outplayed Pat Mahomes, and I think it might take that kind of effort by him, you know, to be able to beat the Chiefs. All I know is at the end of the game, if they can be up by two scores, I think then you could be comfortable. Yeah. But if it's one score, I don't know about that.
Bob, the SEC connections at wide receiver. I remember we go to Manning camp, and Deuce and I are doing the show there, and he's got a picture that I took. I mean, I think it's gotten – I've had so many people, oh, could I print that? It was DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown, Deuce. And Deuce tells me, I think I'm the smallest one in the bunch. Man, you don't realize, like, A.J. Brown, he's built like a running back. He's really right. Thickly built. And then the flip of that is Devontae Smith. Ramid High School – and I've told the story so many times. When he came to our camp right before his junior year, he wasn't even 160 pounds. He was so thin, but he was corkscrewing guys into the ground. He could run a route so well, catching the football. Wins the Heisman Trophy at University of Alabama. Now, that's a real feat to win the Heisman Trophy at Alabama as a receiver. Yeah.
Mike, it's a quarterback award.
Yes.
And, you know, and very few, when you see someone who's not a quarterback winning the Heisman Trophy, and Mike, to show you how mature he was and the game went too big for him, and when they won in overtime, wasn't he the true freshman and caught the touchdown pass?
He sure was.
Against Georgia. Now, just look at that play. Because I look at that, Austin, and the first thing, you know, you're around football fans around here, and what did they say? Oh, why didn't he go to LSU?
I think they maybe knew what NIL was before NIL was actually legal, but it's all good. And it worked out for Devontae. And to think about,
oh, yes. You
know, he's part of this group of receivers from the state of Louisiana. He's so proud of to watch Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase and Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers and Devontae. Okay, now four to five go to LSU. But, you know, you think about five receivers of that caliber in a short period of time. It's unbelievable that this state is producing that much receiver position.
You know, like, remember how we say, like, LSU in particular, like, DBU, and then not so much. I mean, you could say Louisiana's like, wide receiver the wide receiver state. And when you're looking at the players who have made a difference now, and then look in the Deep South for arguably the greatest receiver ever, Jerry Rice, Mississippi. So when you look at that, yeah, that's where he's still going to find the playmakers and the skill players I still think that gene pool, like you always say, in the River Parish and in the deep south, that's where all the speed is.
You think about Keon Coleman. Okay, he was really a basketball player at Opelousas. And he was sort of on the B list for LSU, and then they kind of ran out of room. And he goes to Michigan State, then he goes to Florida State. Then all of a sudden, he's the first pick in round two of the draft to Buffalo. He's sort of a football puppy like Brian Thomas Jr., learning the position. And in this year's draft class, Trey Harris, who goes to, you know, he was a quarterback on the same high school team as Malik Nabers. He goes to Louisiana Tech. Yeah. And he developed into a pretty solid receiver then, and all of a sudden he had a chance to go to Ole Miss, and he knew Lane Kiffin was going to throw it. He had some injuries last year for Ole Miss. But think about that, you know, again, Trey having that opportunity, he's going to be a pick probably in round two of the draft. Again, it keeps kind of cultivating all the talent at wide receiver, and I know one thing in the camps we do, if you had 300 guys do the camp, you'd have about four buses of guys that want to play receiver.
Yes,
one bus, so to speak, that want to play defensive line. One.
So, Mike, what do you think about now? You know, it's cyclical. When you look at the running back class this year, kind of in the draft. Now, I heard it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like back in vogue, I guess, simply because what Saquon accomplished, you know, a 2,000-yard rusher. But what do you think about the running back position in the future and how the game is almost tilted that way as of late? Because then, you know, it's a cat-and-mouse game and a chess match, how you can try and defend offenses. And then you saw this season, well, you know what? We're going to run right at you, and we're going to be more physical. And the running game, to me, came back in vogue. And I know definitely the Philadelphia Eagles want to take that approach. And even Andy Reid would tell you with Pat Mahomes that, no, if they can run with Pacheco, if they can run it, they want to run it too.
Bob, even before the season started, it looked really good at the running back position. Even before we saw this sort of evolution. And Ashton Jeanty he's a terrific player from Boise State. And then maybe Omar Hampton could sneak into round one, but it's from the start of round two to the middle of round four, you're probably going to have 13 running backs picked. That's how deep this draft class is at running back. It is really thick at that running back
Mike,
position.
And then when you look at that, all that depth at the running back position, that's why we can't fool around with Kendre Miller.
No.
Sometimes you're going to hit, sometimes you're going to miss. I think he's about 2.5 strikes, 3 are out right now as far as, you know, obviously him being able to contribute in a Saints uniform because he hasn't been available. You can have all the ability, but you have to be available. And like you said, he better, you know, get off the pot because they might go in a different direction. But another running back to compliment Alvin Kamara next season.
Yeah, I think it's still devalued today. And you probably won't. You'll have one pick for sure. If you get a second, who knows? It's borderline. But I do think that it's not the wear and tear on a running back as it was when you played. Because you really didn't substitute a lot of running backs. Today, it's running back by committee. You know, some teams are playing three backs at a time.
Yeah.
So
it's not the same load. Yeah, Mike, it's like you load. You say, no, if you hit 20 carries, well, that's a lot. You're getting too much, you know, a 10 to 15 kind of the balance. Then you look at the touches. Yeah, it could be what they do in the passing game. Running the football, they might even contribute in a return game, and then they have 20-some touches. But you very seldom see the Derrick Henrys or whatever where you see 25 to 30 carries a game. It's definitely more that by committee. And I think that's a smart way to go because you want the running backs, and they're not all going to always be like Derrick Henry. You want to be ready to roll, you know, come late December, as they are in middle or late September at the beginning of the season.
The other thing, too, is most of these backs now, they have at least had a little bit of work as a pass protector. I remember talking to Deuce, and he got there Ricky Williams was there a year. I was like, what do you learn from Ricky? He said, well, one of the things Ricky was telling me was about pass protection. They never asked me to pass protect at Ole Miss. Okay, I was the running back, or I caught a pass coming out the backfield. I didn't do hardly any in pass protection. Now, you as a former quarterback, you know one thing. Man, I don't want to have no green rookie running back there, and he don't know nothing about protecting me, because I'm going to get killed, in the pocket.
Because when you look, if it's cover zero and they're blitzing, whether the tight end staying in or a running back, they assign someone, because you can't double-team everyone. So that running back block or that tight end block sometimes trying to block an edge guy, you know, the mismatch there, that's just as important as any the interior line or the tackles. And, you know, and then a lot of times, you know, let's say a tight end's missing his block and can't pass block, or a running back, they say, oh, the offensive line sucks.
Yeah.
They can't block. And I'll be like, no, just look at the play. The line blocked pretty good. It was the damn tight end or the running back and they got run over or whiffed or something.
Bob, just curious, have you gotten to hear or see the crowd around Kellen Moore yet at the Superdome?
No, that's what I was going to say initially. We could not find Kellen Moore. I saw, like, the Eagles. We got to go back out there, and Jeff's trying to hunt him up right now.
Okay.
But we saw, you know, they got to come mingle through the media, and the fans could see him from the stadium. But we did not see. We're all looking for him. We did not see Kellen Moore. One is, they're keeping them on the low because, but you know, I think the way the NFL has it, that this, it's not like you can stay back at your hotel. You have to do this. You know, you have to, even though you might not want to do this, a bunch of BS that, you know, a lot of the players, like Scoob was with me tonight. Scoob said, I'm looking at some of these players, boy, they sure in the hell look like they don't want to be here. I said, they look like that because they really don't want to have to do this.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm exactly. Like Marshawn Lynch.
A lot of them want to just play.
Bob, I don't know if you heard it, but we talked about it a few minutes ago, but Cooper Kupp has asked for a trade from the Rams, and whoever acquires him, he's getting paid $20 million a year. So you looking in today's world.
He's good, but he ain't that good.
Man,
I don't know. To me, $20 million. Now, I'm for all the players getting paid, but that's a lot. It's not that Cooper Kupp, he's dealt with a few things, and the only thing is, you know what's interesting? That he requested a trade, but isn't Matthew Stafford like his best friend or something?
Maybe he knows something that's right. Not been out yet, because you and I talked about this. Matt Stafford has openly talked about retiring.
Yes, and saying, but Mike, I don't know, when you get, how much he's making, about 45, 50 million, whatever?
Yeah, in that range.
No, it's kind of like, I think I can last a few more months, and then I won't sign an extension, you know, because you're in that real world, you know. Yeah, you ain't going to have them kind of paydays anymore.
No, those end real quick. You got the best line for it. The real world sucks.
For sure.
All right, well, I'm gonna go look and see if I can find Kellen Moore.
Yeah, I'm seeing on social media. He is talking to the media, so go find him, Cajun Cannon.
He is talking now, Bob.
Okay, all right. Talk to y'all later. Okay, bye.
Thanks for the time. That was the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, checking in from the Caesars Superdome on opening night of Super Bowl 59. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, some more Sports Talk right here on WWL. Who dat? Welcome back into Sports Talk. Now joining us here on Radio Row, Yahoo Sports NFL analyst Jason Fitz. Jason, how you been doing? How's the stay in New Orleans so far, at least?
Always incredible, right? Like, this is like some combination of sports media and summer camp all rolled up into one, because we all have so many relationships and everybody knows each other. So especially day one always feels like a family reunion. I was lucky enough before Yahoo to work at ESPN for a long time and work also with Fox Sports Radio. So like, just it's rare you get to see everybody in one, you know, one place at one time. So it's always an incredible experience.
Gotcha. You know, just early thoughts on the Super Bowl. It's one we've seen once already. similar, but not similar. You know, the Saquon Barkley of it all feels like a paradigm shift to some extent. But what is kind of your early read on that matchup?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I mean, while the Eagles were here a couple of years ago, we also have to acknowledge different offensive coordinator, different defensive coordinator,
right?
Different schemes in some ways and different strengths. Like this Eagles team, this Eagles defense is particularly up the gut of the defensive line is incredible. They did a great job this offseason of addressing their secondary in a way that I think was really impactful. And this all plays into why this matchup feels like it should be different. But also, I keep running this stat for everybody. I'll credit Trey Wingo. There's been 140 times in modern NFL times that a quarterback has had the ball with 4 minutes or less to go in the game, needing a score to tie or win. 140 times. The average conversion rate of that is 40% of the time. So, for example, this happened 11 times in Brady's career. 5 times he got the score. In Drew Brees, 6 times, 3 times he got the score. So the question is, can you get the score? Patrick Mahomes has had the ball in his hands in the playoffs or Super Bowl 7 times with under 4 minutes to go, needing a score. He's gotten that score all 7 times. So, like, the real answer here is the only way you beat the Chiefs is if you beat them by 2 scores. How do you blow out the Chiefs? That's the real method. And that's, unfortunately, even though I think the Eagles are the better team, nobody blows out the Chiefs, and then nobody beats Mahomes in a close game. So, like, the math right. doesn't math to an Eagles victory.
You mentioned, you know, different OC, DC for Philadelphia Eagles from last time around. We here in New Orleans, obviously, really interested in this guy, Kellen Moore, the OC currently for Philly. What do you know about him, at least, from his days, you know, running with the Cowboys, then short stint with the Chargers, and that 1 year with Philadelphia has really adjusted to a more run-heavy offense over there?
I think that's the adjustment is the key piece to this. In my mind, a great coach is kind of like Chopped, if you ever watch food TV, right? You open the basket of ingredients, like, here's what I got, how am I going to cook, right? What I think is really impressive about Kellen Moore this year particularly is that early in the season they were trying to be a passing team and they realized that that wasn't working. So they made some changes to the way they run their offensive line. They made the changes to how he calls the game drastically, and they really became comfortable not giving a darn what anybody thinks about anything and doing it their way. That to me is a comfort in your own skin that I think you have to have as an offensive coordinator to then become a very good head coach. They're such different jobs. I think we have to understand that so much of being a head coach is about being a CEO and being able to relate to everybody and have your hands in everything. So you never know, but I think Kellen's ability to turn around and change a little bit of what he does to morph to the strength of his team is an important sign of a great coach, not just a one-hit wonder coach. So I think Kellen Moore would make a lot of sense in this situation. It is interesting. He's been really quarterback blessed. If we're being honest, like, he went from having Dak, who everybody can say what they want about Dak, but he was an MVP candidate,
right,
to Justin Herbert, who, you know, if you're Harbaugh, you're like, yeah, I'll leave college football for that guy. And now he's with Jalen Hurts, who I know may not be the same passer of them, but provides unique opportunity. And so it's going to be interesting for the organization to figure out, do they believe that there's some skin left with Derek Carr?
Right.
Or do you believe that you're going in a different direction? And I'm a lifelong diehard Raiders fan. I've watched more Derek Carr than anybody.
Okay.
I understand why it's maddening for everybody. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Saints decide.
Yeah, and, you know, what are your kind of thoughts on the, you know, it seems like everyone wants that new hotshot offensive coordinator. Kellen Moore is kind of fascinating in the sense that, you know, he's 36 years old. He's already had 6 seasons as an offensive coordinator with 3 different teams. You look at Ben Johnson, you know, he's coming off the strength of a couple really good seasons with the Lions, but, you know, I wouldn't say he's a guy who's been around the block a lot. So what are kind of your thoughts on just the state of head coaching as a whole, and, you know, where do you think the best head coach candidate lies? Is it that offensive wizard? Is it the Dan Campbell CEO type? You know, what do you think about that?
So it's interesting you mentioned Dan Campbell, because Dan Campbell we're about to find out a lot about. Like, everybody loves the work of the Lions, but let's also look at the Eagles. The Eagles had great coordinators. They go to a Super Bowl. Then all of a sudden they hire bad coordinators. They're terrible. Now they hire good coordinators. Right. So if you hire a defensive-minded coach or you hire a CEO coach, you just got to understand that every time that offense is any good, they're going to turn around and they're going to poach that offensive coordinator from you. So now you're rebuilding constantly. That's why I think offensive minds make a ton of sense. So
right.
It's really about not having to go back to the well. But we also have to acknowledge at this point that hiring a coach is a lot like drafting a quarterback. It's a total crapshoot. And it's just such a different job. I wish Dominique Foxworth years ago said they should start a combine for head coaches. And they really should, because what you're asked to do as a head coach is wildly different than what you're asked to do as an offensive coordinator every day. So, like, I get the Ben Johnson thing. Everybody likes Ben Johnson. But I've also talked to people that cover the Lions extensively, and they'll tell you Ben Johnson's kind of a weird dude. Like, he's kind of a hard dude to relate to. He's not super conversational, right? Like, how does that work? Like, we saw that with Jonathan Gannon when he was hired by the Cardinals. Everybody's like, I don't know, kind of a weird dude. Like, there's a difference between weird, cool Mike McDaniel and weird, Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah.
So I think where Kellen Moore comes in is – He played in the league. He's been in the league. He's been around the league forever. He's run several different successful offenses. He's worked with a lot of head coaches. That's just a bigger body of work to be able to make the crapshoot decision with. So that's why I like the Kellen Moore hire.
Yeah, you know, there's a kind of a funny kind of joke graphic, but it's very accurate. It's like, hey, you're a defensive head coach or kind of a special teams head coach, whatever. Hire an offensive coordinator. That offensive coordinator is great. Hire an offensive coordinator. That offensive coordinator is bad. Hire a new offensive coordinator. Like, no matter what, whether it's good or bad, you're going to be in that same pool again. Look at a Todd Bowles. And I guess I feel like when you are that defensive head coach or you're that CEO head coach, the important thing is you're with an organization that isn't going to fire you after one bad season. Because, you know, you're a Todd Bowles. It's like you got it right three times in a row. But, okay, what if, you know, this next guy is not – you know, the guy, and you have to replace him, and all of a sudden you're fired. You know, where does it seem like NFL teams are a little too trigger happy with moving on from head coaches? And it, because it does feel like that's changed in the last decade.
Yeah, 100%. And it's a terrible way to do business. Again, I'm a Raiders fan, and this is a very real number. The Raiders just hired their 15th head coach in the last 31 years.
Wow.
And when you actually think about the revolving door that can become, it makes you appreciate the nuance of the arguments about Mike Tomlin that aren't being said loud enough, right? Like, we don't live in a first take society. We live in a hot take society, but life isn't, you don't run your football business like TV shows run their hot takes. So I do think that there has to be some plan. And that's why if I was coming into the Saints job, the first thing that I would want is I would want assurance that I've got 6 years. Like, that's what the 49ers gave John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan together. That's why they went to that gig at the time, which people forget was not as coveted as it is now. I would want 6 years. I would want understanding that we're going to take 2 years and we're going to rip it down to its foundation, and I would start that process. I know that the salary cap situation gets much better next year and the year after for the Saints. It does for everybody. So right. At some point, you just got to rip the Band-Aid off and say, hey, if I'm going to come here, I want the ability as a coach to decide if I like Derek Carr. I want the ability to decide if I want to reboot this entire roster. I want patience knowing that, frankly, I think the best thing for Saints fans is for Derek Carr to go out and have a really good year, and it's fine and it's great. This is not the year to need a quarterback. The free agency class stinks. The draft quarterback class stinks, and we've known this for 3 years. So, like, delay that decision. Rip apart the rest of the roster. Start building something fundamentally and foundationally that you want to stick with. Like, I think it's okay to admit, hey, we made a mistake in the hire of Dennis Allen. How do you get out of those mistakes? You lay an all-new foundation. And if you're building a house and you realize at some point that you screwed up, you got to rip it down further than you want to build it back up. You don't just take the second floor off. You got to go back further down.
And down to the studs, baby.
The Saints got to do. And when you do that effectively, that's what the Lions did. Everybody wanted Dan Campbell fired in his second year when he started slow. And ownership said, no, we know we got our guy. You see your guy inside the hall. So if you see you got your guy, you stay patient with your guy and you let your guy cook. That's what you have to do.
You mentioned being a fan of the Raiders. What do you think about Tom Brady now taking over there and how much involvement he's really going to have at the organization?
I mean, it can't get worse, right? Like, I mean, this is the hardest part is that owners become owners because they were really successful business people more often than not. Not because they were great football minds. And if you're Mark Davis, you got to own a team because your dad owned a team. Like, right. That doesn't mean you're qualified to know how to run a football program. And so he keeps trying, and I'll give him credit for that. You know, but just like the Knicks, James Dolan constantly tried different things to get the Knicks turned around, right? Like, owners are trying. I do believe that. It's just, what do you do when the person that's in charge of everything, Cowboys fans got to ask themselves this, what do you do when the person that makes the hires isn't good at identifying talent? And if that's the case, like, Jerry Jones does a really good job of identifying very good talent, very good coaches. His teams never stink. He can't find a Super Bowl winning coach. Like, that's part of, I fully believe that Schottenheimer will be very good because that's what Garrett was and that's what McCarthy was. It'll be good. It won't be bad enough to stink, but will it be good enough to win you a Super Bowl? I mean, that's right. He's not good at identifying that. So the Saints, just like all of these teams, are going to have to turn around and just say, hey, what's our process? How do we do business? And how do you stick to that plan no matter what the result is?
All right, so you're in New Orleans. You said it's like football summer camp, something like that. What is on your New Orleans wish list for this week?
To not gain 15 pounds and be hungover every day.
It's not an option.
Like, everybody's already. I'm already getting blown up. They're like, where are we going out? No, I think the best way. I went walking around last night, and I know Bourbon. I've lived in Nashville for 20 years. I understand why locals always hate Lower Broadway in Nashville. I understand why locals are like, Bourbon Street. I went to Bourbon Street last night just to check out the music, you know, and just there are so many in this city. My goal every day is to hit a different neighborhood and just listen to as much great
live music as possible. Like there are too many talented musicians in this city to not explore that. So as great as the food is and as good as the drinks are, the music is the number one thing I got to hit.
I saw you're a fiddle player. Did you bring your instrument with you?
I did not. No. Okay. No, but I mean, if there's one on stage, I mean, I'll grab one.
Hey, don't make me play.
Yeah. But, yeah, I was lucky enough to have a long career in the music business. And so, like, for me, even last night, I saw a funk, like, funk soul band that was doing modern pop hits, but they put all of it to, like, a New Orleans beat as they were going. And it was some of the best arrangements I've seen. So, like, that's the stuff. Like, there's too many talented musicians here to not go explore that.
See, everyone gets caught on Bourbon Street. Frenchman is where you need to go for the music.
Frenchman's my goal tonight. Yes, so, Bourbon last night, Frenchman tonight.
Yeah, it's a much chiller vibe. Let's put it that way. But the music
I wanted to hit Bourbon last night because I knew that it was only going to get worse the rest of the week. I was like, all right, I got that out of my system. Now we shall move about the cabin.
That's for sure.
Jason, definitely appreciate your time. I know you're doing inside coverage on Yahoo Sports with Joey Epstein, Charles Robinson, and Frank Schwab. Inside coverage breaks down what's happening inside NFL locker rooms, also the front office. You can find inside coverage on Yahoo Sports, YouTube, and all the major podcast platforms. Appreciate your time, man. Have a great time in the city, and definitely be seeing you around.
Okay, can't wait, guys. Thanks for hosting me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, you, man. That was Yahoo Sports' Jason Fitz joining us on the Treasure Chest Power Seat. Great to hear from him and seeing all the action on social media right now going on opening night in the Caesars Superdome. Anxious to find out more of what, obviously, Kellen Moore has to say, the Eagles' offensive coordinator.
Now, he did. Jeff got that question into him.
Saw that, right.
About that, you know, when the day he gets to become a head coach one day.
Yeah.
I'm play caller. Who that reminds you of? Sean. Okay, every once in a while I might let, you know, somebody else do that. But, man, I'm doing this.
This is my baby, right?
Because if I go down, it's going to be on my clock, not anybody else's. It's going to be on mine. So Jeff got that interview with, well, basically everybody's around. But
sure. He
got that question in to Kellen Moore, and he basically is telling you whenever he becomes a head coach, and I think that'll be real quick, like early next week, he's doing the play calling. There's nobody calling those offensive
I'm the players. Boss, right?
I'm the man. And so if it don't go right,
you know who to blame.
Look in one direction.
Mike, it's been a great day of day one of coverage. Looking forward to tomorrow. We've got Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL Insider, joining us. And we'll see who else drops by the WWL booth as we get ready for day two of Super Bowl 59 coverage. From Mike Dettillier, I'm Steve Geller. Want to thank Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Sosa for helping us with their coverage. And also the Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat. You'll hear from more tomorrow night. For everyone here at WWL, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Have a good one.